Praise the Lord. Have you received a lot tonight? Do you know, Australia. And I thought I was getting it, you know, for my husband. I got a couple. I gave one to my grandson. But I kept this one. I went down and showed it to him. And I said, but can I have it back? Because it was very significant. Because it's about our mouths. What comes out of our mouth. Whatever comes out of our mouth, guess what? It's going to come back. If you give out blessings and honor, it's going to come back. Blessings and honor. If you send out anger and strife and unforgiveness, guess what's going to come back to you? Amen? That's part of what love is about. You give out love, you're going to get love back. Amen? And if you don't get love back, hey, that's their problem, not yours. You did your part. Amen. Amen? You just keep loving and you keep loving until pretty soon they figure out you're real. That's what they're doing. They're waiting for you to not be real. And when they find out that you're going to be real, then guess what? They start being real. And that's when healing really starts. That's when honesty and a foundation begins to build. And a good, solid relationship is like firm ground. Amen? I have a lot of friends like that, that didn't stay non-Christians around me very long. And it wasn't because I took the Bible and hit them over the head. I remember the first person I led to the Lord was Debbie Grimes. And I mean, I knew her for, gosh, almost a year. And whenever I would talk about the Lord or something that was happening in my life, I'd say, please excuse me, but can I tell you this? I didn't call it testimony. I didn't have that down deep enough in me what I was doing. And one day she just said, you don't have to apologize for what you believe. I had her hooked. I am a fisherman, and that is one fish I've never let go. You know, I've led a lot of people to the Lord, a lot. But I'll tell you what, Debbie and I have been best friends for how many years? 38 years she has put up with me. Amen? And our personalities kind of were complementary. And because of that, where she was always up there and I was down here, she had to teach me some wrong thinking that I had because of the family I was raised in. You just did those things. You thought those things were okay. And she'd go, well, they're not okay. And I go, really? Well, explain it to me. A lot of counseling in the car going somewhere. Helping me understand that wasn't right. I was never going to do it. My conscience would have never let me do it. But I talked about it. When I talk about it, well, that's not right. But then there were some things that I was learning that I was able to speak into her. And I said, that's not right. And I think the biggest thing was I learned to quit listening to that self-talk. And then when she started realizing she was listening to the self-talk, I had to talk to her about her self-talk. She couldn't talk to herself about her self-talk. I got to talk to her about it. Just yesterday, we had a self-talk. My good self-talk and her bad self-talk got together. Is that true? Anyway, praise God for a healthy friendship, right? A healthy friendship that you can agree to disagree and that, you know, you have your opinions and you're still respected in those opinions. Amen? To find a friend that true, that's far and few between. Amen? But guess what? You have to be it first. You want it? You have to be it first. You have to be willing to give. You have to turn the other cheek. You can't make judgments on, you know, they say first impression, you're out if you mess up. You can't make first impressions and out. You've got to look at the potential inside. True love, you look. And I mean, if they'll look me in the eye, like one dude looks me in the eye, the other one doesn't. I mean, the one that's looking me in the eye, I'll tell you what, I see the potential in him. Oh, now the other one's looking. See mine? See mine? I saw them both. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you talk to people, do you look them in the eye?
Yes.
That is the first step. Otherwise, you're like the guys, you know, hey, dude, how do you, and you kick the can, okay. Hey, look me in the eye, because I want to check you out, dude. I want to see where you're coming from, sis. I want to know what's going on, because God taught me something a long time ago, that if you look them in the eye and they're sincere, you'll see in the window of their soul, and you'll get to see what I see, Nancy. He started with me with that. You know how he started me with that? The day that I died on that operating table down there in Seattle, and they had me opened up from here to here, and it was too hard on my heart, and it stopped for 27 minutes, flatline. Flatline. And I'm like, who are they operating on? I don't even like blood and guts. And I was looking, and that face was covered up, and they had oxygen on that person, and they were doing stuff to try to get the heart going. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this. Who is this person? And the anesthesiologist says, damn it, Nancy, breathe. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. That was me. I mean, I'm sincere in what I'm saying. This is the truth. And the next thing I know, I was spiraling somewhere, going faster than the speed of light, and I don't even know how fast that is, but I was going through time so fast, and all of a sudden, I was standing on a glass walkway, and it was wide, probably from there to there, and it was like I could see in it, but it was gold, but it was like plexiglass or you know, fingernail polish that you smeared over, and you could see it. It was clear, but it was a gold hue, and I could see the grass, and I looked at the grass, and the grass was moving. Man, this is good drugs, huh? But it wasn't drugs. I promise you it wasn't. But I was watching the grass, and I noticed that Jesus was walking beside me. Now, I had had about four encounters before this time that I had seen Jesus face to face, and he talked to me. And he's walking with me, and we just started talking, and we're walking, and I'm watching the grass. You know, it's like the grass is looking this way, and as we're walking, the grass is following us. And I'll tell you how self-centered I was at that point. I remember thinking, the grass is looking at me. Then I realized the grass was looking at him. But I mean, I was just so excited, the grass is looking at me. I didn't say it out loud, thank goodness. He would just, of course, he knows what we think, right? And while I was walking along, I looked up. I mean, it was like, I feel like I had a million questions. I was asking these questions. Some of them, I was open my mouth verbally saying it. Some of them, I was just thinking, and he just answered them. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, I look up, and I see the Apostle Paul. I knew it was the Apostle Paul. I don't know how he knew it, but I knew it, and I looked, and we were in a conversation, and I went, is that the Apostle Paul? Is that Paul? And he said, yes, Nancy. And I'm like, and we're walking, and all these people, just a humongous amount of people around him, and he was teaching. He had something that he was reading on something I'd never seen before in my life. Never. And still to this day. And he was reading, and here I'm coming down this walkway, pavement, whatever you want to call it, and he's reading, and he looks up at me, and he goes, and nods at me. Not like he recognized me. The one that I read about, the one that I love, the one that God chose me to pattern my life after in Christ Jesus. That those anointings that are on Paul have gradually poured out on my life. And they've manifested not when I wanted them to, but when God wanted them to. For his best advantage, for his glory. Amen? Does that make sense? And so we're walking along, and I remember we're walking by that pond, and I shared this last night. I was having such a hard time because it was a dead pond. I mean, as far as I was concerned, if there's not any in an Audi, it's just dead to me. That means there are no fish in it. That means they can't live. How are they going to live? See, I'm an Alaskan, and I am a fisherwoman. I am. I mean, I said that politically incorrect. I'm a fisherman. Amen. A fisherman after souls, but I'll tell you, until God called me in the call that I am in, I was totally a fisherman, avid fisherman. I taught my children to fish, not my husband. He's not a fisherman, period. He will eat it. And he did. Because I waste not, want not. And I would. I'd strap my babies on my back, and I'd go down to the creek, and I would fish where I knew I could catch fish. I'd put them on my back, or they were in their little seat, and I would carry them like this down to the water. And that was my time out in the afternoon, and I would go down to the lake. Later, Henry got me a canoe. I would go out on the canoe. Later, after I met Debbie, I said, "Will you come and row so I can fish?" Do you remember that? One time, Henry got me one of those blow-up little rafts, right? It's supposed to be a four-man raft. So he takes it down there for us. He gets it in the water for us. And he goes off. And Debbie goes, "I'm just going to row you around." She didn't care about fishing. Well, she changed that. She started catching the big ones. Now it's like she is so greedy. She's a fish hog. But anyway, and you know, I can be competitive about fishing. Huh? A little bit.
Just a little.
Anyway, so we're out there on the lake. My favorite lake is just across the highway from where I live, up into a subdivision off to the side. I mean, my heart's desire someday is to own property there on that lake. I love that lake for years and years. That property's just too expensive. But Henry will go, "What would you like?" I want a house on that lake, Henry, more than anything. I mean, I've been saying that for how many years? Long time, yes. Anyway, it was one of my dreams, but I've been so busy I couldn't take care of it anyway. But anyway, here's Debbie and I. Debbie's rowing over, and I said, "I always wanted to go over that side. Look at those trees hanging over. I bet there's some big fish over there." Debbie goes, "Okay." She's rowing away. And we get over to that area, and all of a sudden I heard this bang! And I went, Debbie, go back. It must be a big one. It was so loud, and the water just rippled. And Debbie said, "I'm trying." She's turning the boat around as fast as she can. She tried to get it back for me. And all of a sudden, I saw what did the bang. And I went, "Debbie, get out of here. It's a beaver. It's a beaver. It's going to come after us. If it bites this canoe or this rubber boat, it's going to bite our legs. It's going to eat right through us. Go, go." I'm trying. Oh, man, it was like I was schizophrenic for a few minutes. I love to fish, but man, I don't want to mess with those beavers. I saw some of that wood sitting out there chewed through. So, back online. I went on my little rabbit trail. Anyway, so here I am walking with Jesus, and I look and I see that lake. There's no innie, no outie. And in my heart, I have had dreams about people fishing in places like that, or fishing in places where, you know, the river, the water comes up and the river overflows down into this, you know, this little area, and it's muddy and swampy. And I would, in my dreams, I'd see the people out there fishing in those dry, muddy places. And I'd go, "The fish aren't here. They're over there where the river's going. We need to be in the river. Why are you over here?" And they go, "It doesn't matter, Nancy. We're fishing. Just get your fishing pole and teach us how to fish." I said, "I can't teach you how to fish over there. We got to go to the river. That's where the fish are." Amen. Sometimes God says that we are fishing in the wrong place. He wants you to go fishing where he's got the fish planted. Amen? Yes. Otherwise, we're doing our own thing. I'll never forget that. One time I had a dream like that, and it was in a ministry, and they were just like totally going the wrong direction. And God gives me prophetic dreams. And I remember saying, "You know what? I'm going to go over there and fish." They said, "No, you need to stay here." Well, I was obedient. And then I said I had to go to the bathroom, and I took off over the hill, went to the river, and here they came and got me and said, "We know there's no fish over there, but you need to come over there and teach them how to fish." How frustrating. Do you have things like that going on in your life where you're fishing where you have no business fishing? You have no business fishing. And yet God's saying, go into the workplace. Go into the grocery stores. Amen. Go into the hospital. That's where the fish are. Amen. That's where God's love is moving. And he's a mighty river. And he will let you catch the fish for him. Amen. Isn't that an awesome word? But the Lord, as we're walking, I didn't say what I was upset about. I was thinking and I was sad. And it was like my heart was just sad. And he says, "Oh, Nancy," he said, "I don't want you to be concerned that there isn't a spring coming in or a way out." He said, don't you know Psalms 23? He said, "My sheep, they get nervous around troubled water." He said, don't you know their short little legs and their wool, that when they get in that water, they may be able to be okay in the water, but if it's troubled waters, they'll flip over because of the way that they're built. They'll flip over and drown. Isn't that a picture of us, his sheep? God has made a safe place in Psalms 23. He's told us we are led by still waters, but we seem to think we got to go to these bad places. We still think that we're in control and we want to do that sin and we don't want to love like he wants us to love. We want to hate. We want to judge. We want to make decisions that are not going to be good for us. Amen? But he says, come back here. Come here to the still waters. And what does it say? And you will have no want. You will have no want. In this life, we have a lot of wants, but we don't realize that he has provided for all our needs. That's why he says, you have no wants. That's somebody that's settled and peaceful beside the still waters and trusts that God will meet your every need. Every need. If you believe, that's the key. If you don't believe, it's like you are walking around with a glass ceiling over your head, and sometimes you feel guilty and you call on God and say, help me. And when he doesn't help you at the snap of your finger, the next thing you know, see, there's no God. What about me? Doesn't he love me? Do you love him? That's what he's trying to establish this year. And whatever comes out of your mouth, I could tell you more about my visit in heaven, but it's not tonight. But what comes out of your mouth is going to come back to you. Amen? So send out of your mouth hope. Speak those things that are good and proper and pure and lovely. Amen? And watch what will come back. Watch what will come back at you. Some of the people that you love the most, look in their eyes and you'll see their heart. Amen? Look in their hearts. And I'll tell you, you may see a troubled soul, but they'll trust you because you're speaking life into them, and they'll open their eyes, and all of a sudden, zoom, you're in their eyes. Zoom, you're in their eyes and you're in your heart, and all of a sudden they trust you, and all of a sudden, I mean, God just lets me see where he's going to be in 20 years. I see it. I'll see a wife or children. I will see the job that they have. Some of the young people that come to me, I mean, that are in like high school and they haven't made up their mind where they're going to school, boom, I'll see. And sometimes I've been so accurate because of the Lord that I'll tell them where they're going to meet their spouse. 24 years of doing this kind of work. Do you think I've got some very positive answers? Very positive answers. Now, I am not anything special. I'm just like you. But I'll tell you what, the difference that I think that we have is, do you believe? Will you just believe nothing is impossible to God? And if you will position yourself and do everything physically and emotionally possible to get yourself positioned, God said, I will do the impossible. That's his business, not mine. His business. But I got to get lined up. I've talked about this already, but I've got to get lined up. Amen? So, 2016, redemption. Is everybody in this room Christians? Are you redeemed by the blood? Are you redeemed in a place that you know your sins have been forgiven? Somebody already paid for them? His name is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe in that redemption that you have life eternal? If you have a hold on that, what you're going to believe now is that I have this much time. This much time. Because God's all about time, isn't he? There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Amen? There's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, in that time, you have a lot to do. You can do it when you start out at maybe about 5 years old, when you understand what's really going on. Or you may wait till five days before you die. But no matter what you think, you're going to get there because God has a plan. When are you going to listen? When is the question. When will you listen? When will you open your heart? When will you start talking that talk that he can respond and bless you? Amen?
Amen.
It's all about you and your attitude. Attitude. Sometimes that works when I talk to people. I'll say it's about your attitude. It's not about their attitude. It's about your attitude. Amen? Nobody can grieve your spirit but you. Did you know that? Nobody can grieve your spirit. It's up to you and your attitude if you're going to let them grieve you. And why do we let people grieve us? Because we love them. We love them. And we'll be grieved. Or some people out there, they're just angry and can't hear and they have their problems, okay? But it's a choice. It's always going to be your choice. You are in control. You're the driver until you move over and you let Christ drive for you. Amen? So that redemption that God's talking about for this year, 2016, is like a hook. It's like if you understand your redemption, if you understand the redemptive power in your life, if you know who you are in Christ, your whole world changes. It's almost panoramic. It can almost continue to be ongoing beyond the borders of America and back again. But you have to believe that you have been redeemed. You have to believe that whatever you did yesterday, you have to make a choice. If you are redeemed, yesterday is yesterday and this is a new day. Let's focus on it. Amen? And the best is yet to come. And I've shared some awesome stories about people that changed, just like my brother here, what he said. It was life-changing for him. He didn't go into what his past was about. He didn't. But if he had have shared his past, you would know it was a miracle. And not said lightly. Am I correct? And he's more than brought that ark back in. Amen? Amen? But there are many people like that, like the guy that came to the Zest conference and the transformation that took place in his life. And what was really neat was it wasn't just for him. It was the people at the meeting got to see the transformation of what Jesus can do when somebody realizes they are truly redeemed. Amen? So we're redeemed by the blood. Our penalty has been paid in full. In full. Not just in part, so you have to keep trying to save to try to help finish paying it off. It's paid in full if you believe. You know, the Holy Spirit came. The Comforter came. According to John 16, there's that love number 16. But when Jesus was getting ready to go, he was letting them know, I have to go. I have to go because a helper, a comforter is coming back. And he told them, I know you don't understand what's going on, but I'm telling you now again, this is what's going on. The comforter is going to come. He's going to convict you of sin. Okay, right there, a lot of sinners want to stop. I don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I don't want no conviction about my sin. Okay, but do you know what the conviction of sin is? The conviction of sin is unbelief. Unbelief. He came to convict us of sin, the sin of unbelief. That's what separates us from God, is our unbelief. And when we believe, we draw nigh unto him. He draws nigh unto us. Amen? He also said the Holy Spirit comes to convict us about righteousness. Right standing with God. You're going to be convicted of right standing. When you step out of line, you're going to go, whoa, I don't like this feeling. And you're going to get back into position. You're not going to like the way you're thinking because all of a sudden you're flooding in with all kinds of thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking, all kinds of actions you shouldn't be doing because it's not lining up with the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is the judge. Jesus Christ is the one that determines when you say, oh, I slipped up. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. God can't hear you. Go to the Son. Go to the door. Go to the door. If you want to come into me, you got to go through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. And I have given him because of his obedience at the cross for you, for me. He has taken everything on. He's the one. If you want to come talk to me, I have blessed him to be the judge. If you're sincere when you come to repent. Amen? Do you believe that? That is the truth. And that was the third one. To convict you of judgment. So that you understand you are not in any position to judge anybody. Amen. Jesus, my Lord, is the one that judges. So before I do anything, I go before him. Before I ask him anything, I go before him. And I say, Lord, look at me. Am I being sincere when I ask this? If I'm not being sincere, don't give it to me. Don't give it to me, God. Don't give it to me. I don't want anything that I could take and corrupt. Because you know what? We have this flesh in us. We have this carnal nature that raises its head. We think, oh, we're great, and we've been going to church, and some of us are pastors and whatever. But every once in a while, something comes along. Some kind of weakness comes in that you haven't even been tested by for years. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I thought I was over that a long time ago. I have counseled so many pastors in this area. I had one pastor call me up. Nancy, how you doing? I'm doing fine. What's up? What's up, Pastor? He goes, oh, I'm doing the man thing. I said, you're doing the carnal thing, buddy. Stop. In the name of Jesus, stop. Jesus will help you. Amen? You've got to believe that. He will help you. And that love, I just went over a lot about his love, his unconditioning love. If somebody wants to bring that down for me for just a minute. I won't preach too long, but I do want to share something about God's love. Amen? Remember when God did with Peter? He did that similar thing to me. I was at a camp, and Cindy Jacobs had come to Alaska to speak. How many of you know who Cindy Jacobs is? She's a gentle intercessor for the world for prayer. And do you know why? I didn't know who the heck she was, and that was no big deal to me. I got my arm got twisted to go to this conference, and I did go, and it was life-changing for me. Literally life-changing for me. And I learned about a love. And I remember during the time that was going on, everybody, she spoke and said, go off and be somewhere and pray. So I went off somewhere. I went down to the lake. I got in the canoe. I went in the middle of the canoe, and I just laid in the sun, and I just prayed and prayed. I don't know how long I was out there, but when I came on the shore, all my buddies, 27 of them, were gone. They went shopping into Wasilla. We're out of camp. I mean, how yucky is that? Wasilla, Alaska. I live on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska. So anyway, so I'm just hanging around the bushes, talking to the Lord, and I finally go over this cliff, and I'm going down this cliff because I see this dry gulch, and there's a fireplace sitting down there, and I'm headed to this fireplace that was from last year, old coals, old rocks, you know, kind of scattered a little bit. And as I'm going down the side, here's a woman behind a tree, and I can see the smoke bellowing out. She's smoking. Christian camp. And she goes, I almost ran into her. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I said, don't you be sorry. I said, I'm going down there. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I mean, I'm not a policeman. So I go on down, and I roll this log up, and I get the stones around, and I get a stick, and I'm holding that stick, and I'm messing around with it, just kind of imagining I'm at a campground, and I'm just imagining and talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, those stones that were in that fireplace begin to illuminate. And I just, like, I was paralyzed, because how could that be? How could that be? And then all of a sudden, I saw those stones just going like this, but there were faces of all kinds of people. I mean, I'm thinking this must have been 30 years ago, maybe?
No.
25?
First conference was in 95.
In 95? And what is this?
20 years ago.
20 years ago? Okay. So anyway, I didn't think I was 40. Anyway, these little faces are coming out, and they're from all over the world, different nationality, Asian, Indian. I mean, their faces are coming out, but they're going, help, help, scared me to death. Because I was new to all that. I'm the one that ran out of the building when they were falling on the floor laughing and giggling. That freaked me out. I was running so fast. A woman grabbed my arm and I told her, let me go. I mean, I could have hit her. I mean, I was so terrified at that behavior. But I'm going to tell you, there I am sitting by that fireplace. And I still have the stick there. And the Lord says, Nancy, do you love me? Just like you said to Peter. I went, Lord, I love you with everything in me. He said, feed my sheep. He said that to me. I said, okay, I love you. I'll feed your sheep. After a little bit, he said it again, just like he did with Peter. Now, see, I didn't have the scripture that deep in my belly, but I knew those scriptures. And I just sat there. And he said, Nancy, this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, going to people like this, crying out for help. They need help. And I was just sitting there. I started sobbing, and I had that stick still in my hand. You know, I was like just pretending like I was playing with the fire. There was no fire there, you guys. I'm talking Alaska in the spring. And I mean, the snow had just gone. I mean, that's why I was out on the lake. It was just all, everything opened up. It was beautiful. One side of the lake still had ice on it. And I mean, I just remember just sobbing. And my nose, I know, was swollen out to here. And all of a sudden, I heard this, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but I just need somebody to talk to. Well, it was the one that had been smoking up on the side of the hill. And I said, oh, dude, come on, sit down, let's talk. What a basket case. Anyway, she sits down. We rolled a log up, and she sat down, and we started talking. And I said, what's going on? And she said, well, I don't know anybody at this camp. I don't know anybody at all. I saw the brochure at the Bible bookstore up in Eagle River, and she said, actually, I packed a bag this morning and got my husband's gun, and I'm going up the Parks Highway. I'm just going to kill myself because I don't want to live anymore. And she just was sobbing. And I went, whoa, let's talk. Let's talk. I'll tell you one thing. There was a woman like that in my life that I knew something was wrong. I was fearful that something was wrong. I said, Henry, maybe we should go back and pray for her. We didn't go back. I mean, we had to go to the house because the kids were coming home from school. But I said, maybe we should go back and pray for her. And she killed herself 2 hours later. You know, Henry and I promised we would never, ever do that again. We had both had to live with that because God was asking us to go back. And we didn't hear him. We were baby Christians. We didn't hear him. So I'll tell you what, I'm going, whoa, we're going to talk here. You know, what's going on? Why do you want to take your life? And we talked, and we cried together, and I prayed with her. I explained some things to her. I told her some things that she could do to change the circumstances. And by the time we were done, she was laughing. And she said, well, I'm going to go up, but I promise you, I'm not going up the Parks Highway to kill myself. I'm going to go home and repent to my husband. I'll tell you, that's God's love. That's what he wants us to walk through and walk in, you know. And some of you know me. You know what I started doing in my hometown? It was like, it wasn't in the church. I mean, I was working with the children. But what I would do is during the week, I would go a couple times a week. I'd go to the grocery store. I'd go hang out in the vegetable department. I'd stand in front of the lettuce department. And I'd just wait for somebody to come through. And if I could see that there was something bothering them, I'd stop, say, how are you doing, and get to talking, and the next thing you know, I'm having a ministry in front of the lettuce department. Lettuce, praise the Lord. That's my job. Amen? That's my job. And so, That love, that redemptive love, he redeemed me. I am going to spend the rest of my life finding people to introduce them to his redemptive love. Amen? But then he asks us, okay, if you're redeemed and you believe it, and you're walking in his love, how about getting established? That was the next word he gave me. So, let me go to this story. I'm a storyteller. September 13th, 2015, the sun's going down. I'm in Ketchikan, Alaska, and I'm like upstairs. I'm at her house in Ketchikan. I live on the Kenai Peninsula. And we were getting ready to do a conference the next week, but I always go in early and spend some girlfriend time. Okay? And I was upstairs. I don't remember where we'd been. We came back, and I was just standing there. I had my shoes on. Usually I don't wear the shoes in the house, but I wore those shoes up to the bedroom. And I know, forgive me. But I was standing there. I was standing there, and the Lord said, Nancy, kick off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And I went, okay, man, I'm looking for the burning bush. I didn't know what was coming down the pike. I heard him clearly. Kick off your shoes, Nancy. You're on the holy ground. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? I'm thinking of Moses and the burning bush, right? He says, no. He said, I'm thinking about Joshua 5:15. I told him the same thing. He was getting ready for battle. And he needed the true strategy. And that's why you see that picture up there of those sandals. Where is it? Over there? Because the next thing I knew, he was standing in front of me with his hand. I couldn't see him. And he was handing like sandals, kind of like this, in front of me. And he said, here. And I said, Lord, what's going on? He says, well, I had you kick your shoes off because those are your plans. I'm about to give you my plans. Amen? I'm about to give you my plans. And I went, okay. So, he wants me to put on his plans. He said, I'm about to tell you the word for 2016. The sun was going down, I said, on September 13th. That's the first night of the beginning of the 2016 calendar date for Israel. He gives me the word around that time every year, as we're going to next year, the word. And that's why I came down here and why I go all over, is to take that word and spread it out. And it's like growing. Look at this place. It's busy. And I have 50 meetings I'm going to be doing in these 2 months. I've already did 3 weeks of meetings. And I'm just going in verbatim, just going in and telling them all what it is. And you should see the lives changed. So he said, 2016, redemptive love. You have to understand what that redemptive love is. Make it a word study about his redemptive love. You have to take ownership for yourself, because when you walk in his redemption, your life changes. You find out the benefits that God has for you. Amen? So then that love, he wants you to understand his love for you and how he wants us to walk in love to each other. Again, like I talked earlier about the bar stool, the Lord says, love the Lord God. This is the new commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it will go well with you, I guarantee you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But if one of those things is out of order, and generally when I see somebody in troubled waters, you know what I think? Immediately, they don't love themselves. They don't love themselves. And that's where I'll start. Because how can you love God or love your neighbor if you don't even have any love for yourself? You can't even forgive yourself. That's the biggest battle God works through us individually, is just to forgive yourself. Amen? So, then he gave me the next word. It's called establish. Establish is a very, very important word for right now in this hour. To be established in his redemption, to be established in his love, and be established and ready to go where he wants to take you in 2016. Now, if you want to live your life regularly like you always have, remember what I said about the Three Musketeers last night? That devastated me. He said, Nancy, tell me about the Three Musketeers. And for those of you who were here last night, tell me about the Three Musketeers. And I was doing my hair, getting ready to go to church. It was in Ohio. I was getting ready to speak, and I'm doing my hair, and he says, I need to talk to you. Tell me about the Three Musketeers. And I went, well, I love to watch those swashbuckling tales about the Musketeers. I like that. He said, well, tell me about them, Nancy. And I went, well, they fight for king and country. They're very sincere about it and loyal. But they really were pretty much ragamuffins. One was an alcoholic. One was a pretty much stripped priest. I don't know what happened, but he got kicked out of the priesthood. And the other one was a womanizer. I mean, their personal lives were pretty naughty. But when it came to king and country, they were so loyal. He goes, yeah. There was another one. He said, wasn't there another one that was running around all the time? I said, yeah, is that D'Artagnan. Okay, you heard him. I said, he just was following around. He wanted to be like them. He says, that's right. And I said, in fact, he was probably better than them because he didn't have all their stuff, and he was very good swordsman, very quick, young. And he said, yeah, the wannabe. And I just kind of looked at the mirror at myself, and these tears just started to go down my face. I said, what are you saying? He said, well, Nancy, you're a wannabe. Took my breath away. He goes, whoa. He said, you're a wannabe for me for 24/7. I went, oh my gosh. He says, Nancy, 24/7, you want to be with me. And that's the truth. That's the truth. He said, but you're going to go to church this morning, and you're going to tell them what I told you, because most of them sitting there want to be 2 hours a week, and if you go over their time and their stomach grumbles, they're going to want you to shut up. That's the truth. Yeah. Are you a wannabe? Yes. There's two different kinds of wannabes. There's a wannabe that just thinks God's going to sprinkle some gold dust on you, and there you are. It's not going to happen unless you put some effort into it. Yes. Amen? That you let God establish you. Let him start a beginning in you because you say yes. Then you can be the wannabe that he wants you to be. 24/7, always in season, out of season, always ready. Just like the worship, and it's like some of the girls just by twos went back there and ministered to people right now so they wouldn't be distracted. So they could come back in here and be able to listen to what the Lord is saying. Amen? To be established in the kingdom of God, I'll tell you, there's nothing greater on this earth. Amen? And we are not citizens of America. We're citizens of heaven. Establish that mindset, and it changes everything. And see, there is two more words that I want to give you, but I'm not going to give them to you till tomorrow night. But I'm going to tell you, those next two words are so powerful and life-changing, and a promise at the end that you will go out that door, and I'll tell you, you will never be the same. Amen? Amen? And you'll have to scratch your head and decide if you're going to believe me what God told me. Change your whole perspective about what's going on in America. Change your whole perspective about what really is going on around the world and see what God has to say. Amen? But you have to come back tomorrow night. Don't let me down. Come back and just let me share it with you. I want to share it with you with all my heart. Amen? But now what I want to share with you is, just a second. He gave me those sandals. He said he wanted me to put those sandals on because they were his plans. Amen? I mean, we're always walking around with our clear-cut plans, and if anybody messes with our plans, it just messes our world up, doesn't it? But God says, if you have my clear cut plants, it's going to go smooth. And it will. And I'll tell you what, you're walking out his clear cut plans and you have the prayer set in place. I'm telling you what a blessing. What a blessing. God's fruit will come back. Amen? That fruit will come back. That zeal in your life will be there. So I've got them ready to, let me make sure I have what I need my cheat sheets up here while they go over this. So go with me to, Jeremiah 18. And in Jeremiah 18, God is instructed Jeremiah to go somewhere. Amen? Now, I need to get my pictures here. You're going to see some pictures, but I want to be able to pop right into it here. Okay? So anyway, Jeremiah, God said, go down to the potter's house. You want to see how to get established? Go down to potter's house. Here it is, right here. Go down to potter's house. And he wants, I'm going to read this to you, and he wants Jeremiah to see something. He's about to see something that's going to affect Israel. It's going to affect the world. And last night, or tomorrow night, or my last night, I'm going to tell you something that is so effective that is taking place, that is so prophetic for this season of time that you're just going to drop your mouth. Okay? And you're going to kind of see what God's up to. Because we seem to listen to rumors of wars, and we listen to all this media, all the garbage is going on. We're watching about the stock market, the politics, all that stuff is out there. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you what God wants you to focus on tomorrow night. Amen? And how you are in the plan. You are in the plan. You come back tomorrow night, you'll find out where you fit in the plan. Amen? You're going to find out the sandals that he wants to give you to put on. Amen? So here he sends Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And this is the word. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. He's got an assignment. Arise and go to the potter's house. I'll tell you what, tomorrow arise and come to this building. Amen? God gave him an assignment. Go. Go directly. Amen? There's something I want you to see. So he gets down to the potter's house, right? And he says, there I will cause you to hear my words. Come tomorrow night. You're going to hear God's words. Amen? Then I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It was ruined. It was ruined. So go ahead and go to this one. I'll throw it down here so you can see it. So there it is. He's working, the potter is working with a piece of clay. Now, why is he doing that? Because what Jeremiah saw was he had this piece of clay and he lifted it up. He was holding it up and he could see it's no good. There's Mars in it. I can see holes in it. And he slammed it back down on the table and he began to squeeze it. He had to add water to it, which today I would say God wants you to add the watering of the word. Okay, because you are clay, you're as dust, and he wants to form and shape you. It's a process from the beginning of your Christian walk till the end before you go into heaven. I'm telling you, this potter's wheel experience is going to go on and on and on. And the sooner you give up and say it's going to be for your best interest, you'll climb up there and stay on it and quit climbing off of it. Amen? If you get off of it prematurely, he's got to start all over. He goes, look at this, because there is a process. He begins to work it and work it. And this is kind of my life. These pictures are some of the things in my life that I've gone through. And he did. I didn't stay long enough. I didn't have the confidence. I had too much garbage in my life to believe that he would want to use me. And so I kept jumping off the potter's wheel. Then I'd get up there when I felt confident. And then, but I had ruin in me. I had bubbles in me. And he'd go, I need to pour some of the more of the word in you. You need the watering of the word so I can begin to work. Go to the next one, this one here. And he began to form and shape. Form and shape. Amen? There it is. He's starting to put some body to it, some lift to it. And for me, I watched as he was directing me to get these pictures that I was working with Lisa with. He was directing and making a new shape for me. Because that's what he's doing, is transferring. Transforming. You let him transform you. I'll tell you what, you won't even know who you really are in a year, because you'll look back and remember what you were like and you're going, how far God has brought me. Amen? Amen? So there he is working on me. He's continuing to take and shape me even taller. But you know, there's a place that he gets where if you're obedient and you let him mold and shape you, guess what? You're not ready to go out there. You haven't gone in the kiln and been fired off. You haven't been tested and proved. Before he can put you in that kiln, he has to put you in a dry place. And you have to be 100% dry. And you know what? We whine and cry when we get in those dry places. When we don't feel anything, and we don't think anybody loves us, and we don't think that there's anything that God could use in us. We prayed, it didn't work. We showed out, it didn't work. We're so unhappy with ourselves. We don't like that dry place where God is working and he's asking us to be patient. And it does. It's like you're in a valley of despair. You're in the valley of Baca. And the Lord says, keep your eye on me and I will water you. That's in Psalms 84. I will water you. There'll be springs. There'll be rain. I'll keep you hydrated. If you stay in me, keep your eyes on me. You're a pilgrim. Your pilgrimage, where's it going? If your pilgrimage is, oh, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be a father, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that's before I want to just be God's servant, I want my name written in the book of life, you're in for trouble. Because you're still doing it your own way. You're still believing that you're the captain of your ship. And God will let you be the captain of your ship, but I tell you, you let him drive your ship, you're going to get quicker there. Amen. So look at this. We have to be set up and we have to be 100% dry. If we aren't and we get put in that fire, guess what? Crap, snap, pop, and it's ruined. And you got to start all over and there you're back. But here's what we do, is either we don't stay there until we're 100% dry, and sometimes it gets so dry you're just like crying like a baby. You're just calling somebody, help me, I'm just so dry, I'm so dry. But you're in this valley that God is trying to teach you something. And you know what? Once you get through this, he's got another place for you to go. And it's in the fiery kiln. Oh, yippee. And you get in there, and I mean, all kinds of things come down the pike, all kinds of stress, all kinds of icky stuff that makes you feel so bad. You don't know where you're going and what you're doing. You don't know if your head's up or down. Amen? And you're in that fire and people are dying and you're being tempted in every way. It's coming every way. But no, you're trying to keep your eyes on the Lord. You're trying to keep your hope in Jesus Christ. You're trying to set an example. But you're still in that fiery kiln until all of a sudden either you come to a point where this is too hot. I'm out of here. Half the churches in America have that problem. It's too hot in the church. Oh my gosh, it's not hot in the church. It's hot out there. What have we done? This should be a good place for us. This is where we're supposed to get established and get our strategy, get our marching orders. But no, we get in there and we get to bickering and complaining and gossiping and judging. And I mean, we're not dealing with the fire that's going to burn the dross off. And burn those judgments off. And teach you how to love. Amen? So, let's say you made it this far. And he put you in the kiln. And I've got three different types of pictures about the kiln. What it looked like. And I mean, they would just stack them high. And they'd stoke that fire. And it would go and it go. Because that was what the proofing was. That was the testing. If they could withstand the fire, then they could be a usable vessel. Lots of things could be poured in them and poured out of them. That's what he wants to do, is make us trustworthy. He wants you to be trustworthy when he sends you out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There's another one. This is a really interesting one. No, not that one. This one. There you go. Look at that. Can you imagine? All kinds of pottery in there, getting all hot and bothered. And God's saying, don't run. Don't run when it gets tough. Keep your eyes on me and you'll get through the valley. Amen? You'll get through the valley. And then there's this next picture. Oh my gosh. This picture here, this is probably your life. Think about it. How many times that you went so far, whether you made it through the dry time, maybe you didn't make it through the fire or whatever, or you got chipped out there, you thought you were A-okay, and God says, come back to the potter's wheel. Come on. I'm going to add some stuff. We're going to do some squeezing and some loving, and we're going to get some of those impurities out of you, and we're going to start all over. All over. What a blessing. Amen? But look at, this is what our character goes through. This is what it goes through. Amen? Isn't that interesting? Well, this year, I went through that. Because we're always, God's calling us higher. Come on, higher. Come on, higher. Come on, higher. Well, guess what? There's a training ground we got to go through. Don't get tired of it. Some of you mature Christians think you've arrived. Forget it. Come on, there's room on the potter's wheel with me. Amen? And I'll be probably up on that dry spot with you. And you'll probably be back in the fiery kiln with me. Amen? And then we'll be all painted and dolled up so God can use us and show us off for a little while longer until something happens and God says it's time for an upgrade. Amen. You're gold. Upgrade. But I got to tell you. I got to tell you this. This last time, there in the Anchorage Hospital, and you know, I was doing so bad. I was in my fiery kiln. I've been in my fiery kiln for 2 years. And I was very sick, sickened to death. We didn't know if I was going to make it. And then when I had that, I'd been having strokes. They couldn't control them. They were giving me medications. I was allergic to everything. I mean, some of you see me this year and you go, amazing, because you saw me last year. Just amazing what God's doing. Amen. It's not so bad for a 64-year-old woman. But it's my God. He's my makeup man. Yeah. Amen. I mean, my friend thinks it's Mary Kay, but it's not. But this is what happened. That last time I came out of that off the potter's wheel, I didn't notice the shape I was. I was up in that dry place. I didn't look and see what my shape was. He put me in that fiery kiln and all those upsets. I didn't know what my shape was. And then he put me out and he sat me down and he goes, looks good. And I looked at my shape. And this arm was out like this. And this arm was like this. And he sang to me, you're my little teapot, short and stout. Here is your handle, and this is your spout. And Nancy, when you get all steamed up, just tell them to tip you over and pour you out. Amen? 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 Praise God. Praise God. You've been given your heart. If anybody came later and didn't get a heart, Come and talk to one of these girls. They'll make sure you get one of those hearts. Because I want you to remember that heart is on a keychain. And that keychain, I want you to put your important keys on there. And those keys are to remind you. I know you guys are going to go, I'm not walking around with a heart like that. You know, I'm going to look like a girly. Well, let's get tough. What a sweetheart. He's my hero. Anyway, I'm telling you, God said, from now on, if you listen to tonight's message and you're willing to be tweaked, you're willing to go back on that potter's wheel, quit doubting yourself. Quit doubting. Quit getting angry. Quit getting angry. I'm telling you, repent for your anger. Repent for your doubt. That's the beginning. Amen? And there's so much God would love for you to do. Amen? I want to tell you what we're doing this summer so you can keep us in prayer. We're going to New Zealand to do our first international conference, Point Hope Conference, in New Zealand. Amen? Yeah. I have gone to many different countries, and I've personally done, you know, I was a featured speaker, but this is the first time I get to take about 16 people with me from the Point of Hope leadership, and we're going over there and see what God wants to do. You keep us in prayer. Amen? Keep us in prayer. That'll be early June. Then after I do that, Sarah and I are going on to 10 countries, to their capitals. Some of the embassies that we went to in December to make sure what we needed and what we were looking at, we prayed. God has a way that he has me to pray before I can go to a foreign country. I have to go to our embassies here in America to get the authority to go in that country and do what God's asked me to do. I'll tell you, just don't go marching into another country and think you're going to take what you have here and let it pour out. It's not going to work. You go to the embassy and you get right as rain, because I'll tell you, when you go to the embassy, you'll see if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you'll see what you're facing, and you can get yourself in prayer and preparation for what you're facing. Amen. So we're going to be going to we're going to New Zealand and then 10 other countries, and I don't have my list in front of me. And so I'll tell you about tomorrow's 10 countries we're going to. And we have gone to something like 68 countries, or I'm not sure, between 60 and 70 countries. We've already gone to their capitals and prayed. And guess what? They're shaken. Amen. Amen. And I'll share a little bit about that tomorrow night. I'll tell you about my visits to Israel and what happened when we were in Israel and what happened after we left Israel and what God is doing and how much it matters. What God's saying, Point of Hope, go here, go there. We're his hands and feet right now. That's why I knew when I was laying there in that hospital bed, I was not dying and I was not going to get shut down. I just didn't understand, as bad a condition I was in, how it was going to be. And then I had my own revelation that if I couldn't walk, he would get me there because he said so. Amen? You ever had a promise that God's given you? And it hasn't come into fruition yet? Don't let it go. Don't get weary waiting. Don't let it go. It's going to come to pass. From here to here, he knows your lifeline. He knows what his plans are. And he will say to you, how do you know that you weren't born for such a time as this? Amen? Amen. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up my family here, the family of God in this room. And Father God, our visitors, that Lord, I pray that if anything, Lord, that you let me still their hearts. That Father God, there's something going on in their hearts right now that has shifted them to believe that God can be this intimate, this familiar, and also have such an awesome sense of humor. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, tonight you get my friends back home safe and sound. Safe and sound. I pray for traveling mercies. I pray for their families, everyone that's significant to them, Father God. I pray for blessings upon them. I pray them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I have a team that's willing to pray for you, and I want them to come on up here and line up here. I want my team to come on up. Hallelujah. I need four at the four corners. You know the rules, but I want my team up here of intercessors, because we're all going to pray for you. Amen? If you want to have some prayer, we're going to pray with you. How many believe in the power of prayer? How many believe in the power of agreement? Amen. So we're about to have some power of agreement prayer. So come on up here. Let me see.